Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and this is the weekly weather for December 7th, 2014. I'm sitting here at my bright red desk after a lovely weekend out at Sag Harbor doing past life regressions. It was really fun. Learned a lot of interesting things, had a great time, had wonderful food. And now we are facing the run-up to Christmas. So we're going to talk a lot about the energy ahead, how to work with it productively, not productively. If you choose, you don't have to do it productively. You can have some dramas if you want. This week is a three-page week. We know that when I print my little printout every week to write my column, it's usually 2 pages, usually about 1.5 pages of aspects. And every now and then it goes to be a 3-page week, which makes it be a busy, busy week. Lots and lots of stuff going on when we have a 3-pager. And we also generally tend to find that we're really running quickly. So this week we do have a lot going on, and I do want to do a couple of promotional, and I'm going to remember Donald's words to me, not shameless self-promotion, Ann. It's good for you to self-promote. So we offer gift certificates here at Ann Ortley's astrology business. So if it's a lovely present for people, it's disposable. It happens. They get a recording. You don't pollute the planet. It's pretty straightforward. You can buy them in incremental amounts, half an hour, hour and a half. If you're giving it as a gift, we have a lovely PDF. You send your name and who you want it for. And Rose, my assistant, mails it back to you with a cute PDF you can wrap up. You also can just give it as a gift, you know, just say to someone, I'm going to give you a gift certificate. My recommendation with gift certificates is if you know somebody wants it, give it to them. If you're not 100% sure or you think they should have a reading and they're not 100% sure they want one, just say you'll pay for it and we'll bill you when they come. If you know they want it and they really, really love it, you can pay for it ahead of time. So we have 2 ways that we offer gift certificates. And then secondly, again, same shameless self-promotion, I am speaking next October. I know it feels like a really long ways away, at Asilomar, I'm not sure I'm saying that right, Asilmar, with OPA, the Organization of Professional Astrologers, and they have a discounted rate to sign up for their conference of December 15th, which is next week. And it's an interesting conference. It's a 4 or 5-dayer. It's apparently an old Girl Scout camp. It looks really cool. It's right on the Pacific coast near, you fly into the San Jose Airport, but you're on the water. You can see the water from your room. And it used to be a Girl Scout camp, so it's kind of camping, but it's also got, I mean, camping in the, you know, high-end camping. And it's got a hotel and a nice conference center. Google it, Asilmar or M-O-R. And OPA does these conferences where you do tracks, where you basically spend a chunk of time. So we will spend 12 hours together, if you sign up for my track, learning how to work with chart configurations. You know, those T-squares, those cardinal crosses, those stelliums, those alignments. And then there's regular, so you meet in a group with, I guess there's probably about 120 people because it's a limited conference. And you have group activity as a team, and then you go off with your separate group and do practice working on stuff. So it's a 12-hour track with me as your teacher, if you sign up with me, and if you just sign in general, there's a number of excellent astrologers. So the early bird registration expires on December 15th. So that's the Organization of Professional Astrologers. It's also called OPA, O-P-A. And that's the conference next October. Early bird registration ends December 15th, and gift certificates for Christmas. Make sure shopping easy. And we have a lovely PDF we give. So that's the same shameless self-promotion and now into the rest of the week. So what we have this week ahead of us is Jupiter stationing. Now, we've been feeling the build-up to it over the last week or so, and he stops at 22 tomorrow. But, you know, we feel that energy kind of tension. Now, interestingly, because he rules all the planets that are in Sagittarius, and or Pisces in the sky, of which there are actually quite a few, those planets all are shifting in their focus, in their direction, in how they display themselves. So as he stops, yesterday we had a lovely full moon culminating the story from June of 2013 and March of 2014. It was the opening quarter, and now we had the full moon. So the Sag energy is all slowing to a stop. And the Gemini energy, where we have Chiron and Neptune, is slowing to a stop. And they're going to, the ruler of those two guys is going to go backwards. Now some of you are going, wait, I thought Pisces was ruled by Neptune. It's like, yep, the traditional rulers, Jupiter, remember, for thousands of years before we got to the discovery of Uranus in the 1700s, the big seven, the seven deadly sins, the seven days of the week, the whole seven was ruled by the planets that we can see visibly, of which Jupiter then was in charge of Sagittarius and Pisces. So as he slows to a stop, the Sagittarius and Pisces houses in your life are going to shift focus, change direction, as are the Sagittarius and Pisces planets in your chart. They're all going to start to go back and review, back to September, when Jupiter went across his point. He's going back to station at 12 next spring. And our job when planets go, and of course the planets in the sky are going to stop and go backwards. I mean, they're not going backwards, but their function about heading forward full steam ahead kind of slows to a stop. Now, one of the things we talked about was Saturn's in this patch of sky that he hasn't been in for 29 years, and he's not going to be in again for another 29 years, which finishes this week when he gets to 2833, which is his station degree next summer. So he has this little clear patch that he's been riding in between, you know, that he's kind of been traveling through. And from the 2333 to 2833, I think I said that wrong, from 2333 to 2833, October and November, clear patch of sky, lots of changes that are permanent, not going to be reversed, people leaving, people divorcing, people quitting jobs, job companies going out of business, or people committing, getting married, people saying, I'm moving to California, people saying, okay, this is my new life, da, 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 da. You know, there's positive commitments too. As of this week, as of the 10th, the stuff that we commit to can change, okay, and can be renegotiated through all next summer. So this is an interesting transition period. So we have Jupiter stationing saying, well, I've gone as far as I can go. I've pitched you this new life. You like it? And he's been pitching us the new life since July 18th when he went into Leo. And now, today he's stopped. He stops and goes backwards as of tomorrow. He says, okay, forward motion is stopping. The stuff that happens from now on is changeable. You can commit to it, but you might change your mind about it. You might say, gee, you know, I don't know that I really want to. Or you say yes, and then down the road, when we get to next summer, you have an opportunity to change your mind. So the real noticeable shift this week, still quite a few planets in Sagittarius, but the ruler is stopped. Still two planets in Neptune, or in Pisces, but the ruler is stopped. So they're not going forward full steam ahead. They're kind of pausing. And that's important to note because this represents kind of a threshold moment where the stuff that happened in October and November that we are clear and clean on, that's done, and the stuff that we're not 100% clear and clean on, we're going to be able to play with a little bit through next fall, through September, when Saturn gets finished with this section of the sky. So he goes into Sag, gets up to 4.5 in March, and then he goes backwards. And he goes, oh, okay, I guess I don't really want to commit to that yet. And then next September he commits for good, for true. So this part's negotiable, so it's good to know. And I had a piece on my column, which I talked about last week. Some of you wrote and said, could I write it? So I don't know that you all read my column, but there's a column under my website name, AstroAnn, or annortley.com, astroann.com. And in the front of that, I laid out the preview that we're getting from Venus, the Sun, and Mercury, which I stepped through last week on the phone. Somebody wrote that they were driving down the Pacific Coast Highway, and they were trying to imagine it in their mind and looking for it to be written down. And there it was when they went to the column on Monday. Hi, Wendy. And so, yes, totally. It's there. And basically what we've been getting from the Sag planets is a sneak preview. Now this week, Venus, who's the leader of the pack, she goes into Capricorn. She's going into Capricorn on Wednesday. So she gets much more serious and much more contemplative when she enters Capricorn. We have the Jupiter station, which we talked about. And we have a couple other things, which we'll cover in a few minutes. But first, I want to do the moons, because we always find the moons are most important because they rule the functioning of things. Monday and Tuesday this week, the 8th and the 9th, probably the two of the most productive days of the year. So I would urge you, because Jupiter is stationing, he's the benefic. He's stopping on 22. It's a master number. And he's forming a lovely grand trine in the sky with a bunch of planets and fire, too. So there's a nice aspect. Moon's in Cancer with a nice closing aspect of a trine to Saturn. Still in the new section, not in the repeat, closing up section. Moon in Cancer, of course, is its dignity, likes to be in that sign. And the trine to Saturn says, yeah, this is what I really want to commit to. So Monday and Tuesday, excellent days for any kind of projects, commitments, pitches. You know, let's say you're thinking of pitching a project or you're thinking of asking somebody for something. They're really excellent days. Saturn isn't into the stuff that can be revised. Everybody's happy. Mercury is a little bit crazy because he's combust the sun, so you may not listen too well, but you're going to be enthusiastic. So that part's really helpful. And Mars, of course, is in Aquarius, which gives him a bit of detachment. Last week he was in Cap, but now he's in Aquarius, still Saturn ruled, and still receiving that nice little trine from the moon to Saturn, being stimulated because Mars actually answers to Saturn. So the moon in Cancer on Monday is lovely, and its closing aspect is a trine to Saturn on Tuesday. Monday midday, right around lunchtime, a little crazy because there's the moon goes through that T-square, that opposition to Pluto and the square to Uranus. But then the Jupiter station happens that night at 3, or that afternoon at 3:41, and then we're kind of good to go. So, but Tuesday's got excellent aspects too. Wednesday, the moon is in Leo, goes into Leo Tuesday night around 10:14, goes void on Tuesday night around 7:14, goes into Leo on the 10th and the 11th, and then it goes void at 7:48 in the morning with a square to Saturn. So Wednesday and Thursday, not so good. Square to Saturn usually is an emotional need that you have. Leo moons can be a little dramatic sometimes with their emotional needs. Squaring Saturn says, nope, not happening. So not so good on Wednesday and Thursday. And then Friday, the moon is void in the morning, and it goes into Virgo at 10:19 in the morning, and then it's in Virgo on Saturday and Sunday, going void with a sextile to Saturn. So Friday after 10:20 in the morning, Saturday and Sunday, also very productive days. So the ones to kind of watch are Wednesday and Thursday. Now, in terms of busyness, Wednesday is also the day Venus goes into Cap, so that's kind of a busy day. And, of course, we have a lot of aspects this week because it's a three-page aspect week. So we'll go through those in a second. As we work with this kind of energy, what I always like to say to people is recognize that the universe is offering choices. And I know last week I was feeling really scattered one day, and I just said to Rose, I don't know how I'm going to get all this stuff done. I got all this stuff to do. I don't know how I'm going to get it all done. And I think one of the things that we're all feeling is that grand trine in fire, right? It's very enthusiastic, and it's just kind of a little over the top sometimes. And, just know that part of it really is about how we focus. So when we were doing this past life regression weekend, I really had been looking forward to it because it was like an opportunity to kind of hang out and spend time alone. I mean, obviously, we were going to regress together, but then we would just kind of meditate and think. But it was really an interesting weekend because it was taking time to kind of focus on what was important. And I know I was feeling pretty pressed with all that fire energy. And quite a few of us were, that it just feels like it's going really fast. And that all that fire, just zoom, zoom, zoom. And then, of course, this weekend, it was just, in New York at least, it was rainy. So it was really delightful to be kind of indoors meditating and working on the vision, regressing to the past to see what needed to be cleared or see what was informing the forward motion. And mine was particularly profound, I have to say. And I do think, that taking time in this busy, busy week ahead and knowing that there's moments where you're really going to feel like it's just flying out of control because that grand trine in fire is still up there and it's still getting fed by Jupiter stopped and it's still feeding into it the series, the Sun and Mercury are going to come flying across that Jupiter and set him off. So there's a lot of fire energy this week. Now, when we have this much fire running in the heavens, we tend to be fiery. We tend to be very passionate. We tend to feel zoom, zoom. So just know that the energy is going to be extra fiery. It can feel, you know, Sagittarius energy, we love it, but it's multiple candles. You know, it feels like the whole living room is on fire with all these different candle lights burning and saying, jump, 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 go, go, go. And then, of course, the Jupiter station just pulses all this energy to it because it's frozen. And, of course, we know planets don't actually stop, but it is that moment, you know, when you're driving in your car and they're going 60 and you're going 60, and you look across and you can look right in their windows, and it's even though the background's moving behind you, that car is stationary. So when a planet stops, we always see things differently. So think about where 22 Leo is in your chart. You know, in my case, it's in my seventh house, and it aspects a number of planets in my chart. So I know this is going to be a pretty potent week for me. So we do watch those stations, and we watch the station degrees, and 22 is a master number. So we're also working, and the universe is looking at us to up our game, to kind of step up to the next level. So let's talk about the week and what we can anticipate. We do have the Jupiter station, and we also have Venus changing signs. She's going into Capricorn until January. And, of course, I do have my January calendar here. Oh, we are at the changing of the season. Venus is going into Capy until the 3rd of January. The other thing to remember is Venus is out of bounds and Mercury is out of bounds. Right? Now, the two planets are out of bounds. When those planets are out of bounds, it means they don't follow the rules that the Sun lays down for them. And, of course, the Sun's in Sag, so who knows what the heck he's doing. He's out having a couple of cocktails, and he's not really paying attention. But out-of-bounds planets tend to have their own version of reality, all right? And our job with planets being out-of-bounds is to recognize, first of all, what the planet is, why it would want to be out-of-bounds, or what it's going to behave like. So Venus out-of-bounds tends towards overspending, overdoing, over-purchasing, over-whatevering. So while, you know, we have this lovely weekend out there, we had, like, amazing food, lots of Venusian food, and it was Sagittarian. There was tons of it. Mercury out of bounds. Communications, past normal. Been noticing a little weird things going on with your computers lately? Mercury out of bounds does sometimes act like a Mercury retrograde because Mercury just doesn't follow the rules. Plus, he's in Saggy, and he doesn't like being in Sagittarius, because there's just too much stuff to keep track of. So just kind of really focus. You know, remember where you put your keys. Remember to back up your computer. Remember to kind of write appointments down, because this is the kind of week where there's going to be 17 things all happening on the same day, and you might not get to the one that was important because you forgot it. So Sag out of bounds, Venus out of bounds, through Christmas, Venus, through the New Year, Mercury. So this is an overdoing energy, all right? And it is an overdoing energy, at least for Venus until Wednesday, in overdoing. And then when she gets into Cap, she gets conservative. She also gets expensive. Venus in Capricorn, people always can look at the five items and pick the most expensive one out of the pile. So that is an energy around priciness. The Sun this week goes from 16 Sag to 23, so he is going to have a trine to Jupiter on the 14th, stationing Jupiter. Remember, Jupiter stops on Monday, but he's good for the 5 days after, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So all week long, we're going to be feeling that Jupiter. So Jupiter, the Sun comes to trine Jupiter on the 14th, but earlier in the week, the Sun joins with Mercury and is what we call combust on the 8th, which is when people really think that they know what they're doing and they're right. And they think that what they think is right, and it doesn't really matter what you think because they think they're right. So this is not a day to bother having arguments with anybody because nobody's going to think they're wrong. And Mercury combusts the Sun, gives an enormous sense of vision, too. It very focuses the energy, focuses Mercury's intentions and his reason for being. And it gets him really kind of paying attention to things. So that's a helpful energy, which means that, you know, if you've got a list of stuff, if you have a to-do list, and Mercury and the Sun sit down and make it, the two of them can fly through it. by is also being fed by that Jupiter pumping the fire energy towards this grand trine. Now, we often say, oh yeah, grand trine, wow, that's really cool. We love grand trines. Except fire grand trines can make us feel a little burnt at both ends. So you do want to schedule going to bed. Last night, a couple people went to bed at 9 o'clock. Of course, I didn't because I'm a party girl, but they went to bed at 9 because they slept 12 hours because that's what they needed. So do kind of pay attention to your body and what it wants and whether it needs to go to sleep early or it needs a little extra time by itself. Sun is trine to Juno on the 9th, so there's a really excellent day for making commitments to partners. And the sun is also aspecting the nodes of destiny on the 9th of December. And that is lovely for connections, communications, who you meet, take their business cards. Like I said, the 8th and 9th are excellent to pitch projects, to do things, to get things out the door. Sun comes to join Ceres on the 9th also. So there's also an excellent time for initiating creative projects. Yes, I know it's a couple days after a full moon. Yes, I know Venus and Mercury are out of bounds, but it's a whopping energy. You know, it's a whopping kind of couple of days. So I encourage you to take it and use that energy to fuel the projects because it will help them fly out the door. Sun is also trine to Eris, the goddess of discord, on the 14th, and semi-square Mars, and trine Jupiter, and aspecting Vulcanus, and aspecting Neptune on the 14th. That's next Sunday. Just kind of mark Sunday as a little special day of crazy. Good crazy. I mean, it's the moon in Virgo, but it's definitely got a lot of energy to it. And so we'll really feel very pulsed on Sunday the 14th. And we'll also feel, you know, this week the busy days are the 12th and the 11th are both busy. And Monday is very busy. So those are the days to kind of watch for busy. Mercury this week. Mercury is running from 17 Sag to 26 Sag. So he's catching up to the sun and going past him. Mercury is out of bounds. Mercury is in Sagittarius, which he doesn't like because there's too much stuff to keep track of. Doesn't mean he doesn't hates it, but it just, it's like, you know, think about all the lists you have that are in all these different little piles and they're not consolidated. That's Mercury and Sag. Think of having, you know, three bottles of things open and going, I know I've got a bottle and you can't find it, and you open a third one or a fourth one. Mercury out of bounds also gives us out of bounds words. Sometimes we're going to hear from people or we're going to say things to people that are going to really affect them. So I was sitting at the, you know, at the whatever, the past life regression, and the workshop leader comes over and sits next to me and says, let me take your hand. I'm like, oh, this is not good. You know, take my hand. You're going to take my hand. What are you going to tell me here? So we kind of went through what, you know, it was an interesting process because I was like, oh, wow. And understanding that, what the information we get, we may not know quite how to use, because I remember thinking, man, you know I got this friggin' Neptune aspect. I wish I brought my recorder to record what was said, because I know it was important, and I know it went in, but I who knows what I'm going to remember. So Sagittarius this week, really important to write stuff down, because Mercury's out of bounds, and he's wild, and he's not keeping track. And so communications are a little fucked, and also ask people when they say something or you say something to them and they get that kind of, they wince a little, kind of go, would you hear me say? You know, because you, with Mercury out of bounds, answering to a stationing Jupiter on the combust sun, you think you're telling the truth or they think they're telling the truth, and it is their truth. It might not be your truth, right? So take that fakakta energy that's a little crazy and a little wild and a little and just kind of just say, okay, what'd you hear me say? And get them to repeat back to you what you heard. Mercury hits the nodes on the 8th, which is, again, watching who you meet. 8th and 9th, Mercury and the Sun, both on the nodes of destiny, both working with them. Mercury in a creative aspect when she hits Ceres on the 9th, and a positive aspect to Venus, so emotional connections, too. He has the semi-square to Mars on the 9th, whereas the Sun has it on the 14th. So he's going to hit the stuff before the Sun does. And he has a trine to Eris on the 11th and a trine to Jupiter on the 12th. So Mercury, communications, very important. But again, because of the flaring energy of fire and the directness and the straightforwardness and the combust nature of his communications, it might be a little sharp-tongued with Mercury and Sag. Then we have the Mercury goes and joins up with Capito, which is new connections, new family, new tribe. And that happens on the 13th. Venus, our little goddess of love, is going from 28 Sag up to 5 Cap. So she's shifting energies. She's moving from being run by Sagittarius Jupiter in fire back into being run by Scorpio. Now remember, Saturn enters 1833, so he's going to be back being in the areas that he can go retrograde. So Venus now dives from the fire into the earth, answering to Scorpio, Saturn. So she gets very serious on Wednesday. Very serious about money, very serious about relationships, very serious about everything. And when she enters Capricorn, there's a somberness to her. Now, she's still out of bounds, but she's somber when she's out of bounds instead of happy. She does have a quintile to the node, so again, watch who you meet on the 9th, because Venus quintiles the nodes. And then the rest of the week, her aspects are pretty quiet, although she does attempt to renegotiate partnerships and relationships on the 12th, because she has a sesquiquadrate to Juno, and because she has a sextile to Neptune. And so just kind of know this weekend might be a little harder on relationships. Just, you know, it's Moon in Virgo, Venus is in Cap, the Earth girls are hanging out, and they're serious. You know, Virgo Moon is a serious moon, somber, makes a list, tries to figure out things, and then Venus in Cap is pretty serious too. Then we get into Mars. Mars is 20, going from 2 Aquarius to like 6 Aquarius this week. He's not got a lot of aspects, but he does have a blind spot with Neptune. So there's a part of him that something's going to happen. He's not going to see it coming. He's not going to necessarily be pleased about it. That happens on Thursday. Again, that's the hard moon day, right? So Thursday's got a little bit of stress midday, and it ends on a good note, but it does have a little bit of stressful energy. And whatever the outcome of things begun on Thursday, Wednesday and Thursday is not always good because of the square to the Saturn. So if you have to deliver bad news or you have to say you can't do something and you want people to be not necessarily damaged by it but disappointed, good day to do it, Wednesday and Thursday. And Mars, of course, on the 11th kind of says, well, you know, this is the situation now, and I'm letting you know about it because of the aspect to Neptune. You know, Neptune's at 4, and so the two of them are kind of chatting with each other, but they're not necessarily communicating well. And Neptune is what we want, and Mars is in an aspect to Neptune that says, well, I know you want it, but you might not get it. Because I have to do these other things. And so if you have to do other things rather than meet deadlines and commitments, good day to bail on the projects is Wednesday and Thursday. We talked about the Jupiter station for Jupiter, and he's parked, and he also squares Pallas Athena, allowing him to see things. Saturn enters into the section he's going to be retrograde in, and he has a trine to Vulcanus, so we're going to really feel the work effort this week. And then the rest of the planets are pretty quiet. I mean, there's lots of small little aspects. There's lots of quintiles this week. Quintiles are a lot about grabbing the energy and going with it because it's fun, interesting, or appealing. So watch for the quintiles. Those are kind of moments where somebody says, do you want to do this? And you go, I would love to do that. Don't worry about how. Just say yes. And know that there's lots of quintiles about, meaning fifth harmonics, meaning invitations to join the dance. We also have Pallas Athena aspecting the south node of destiny by quintile on the 10th, so you figure out something really important on the 10th of December. And Juno aspects the nodes of destiny on the 10th. So that's a partnership that comes in, but it may not work out the way you like, but that's okay. You know, sometimes they don't end the way we like, but they're really productive while we're in them. And that would be the case with whatever partnership shows up on the 10th. You might not like how it ends, but it'll be productive while you're in it. Again, we don't use astrology to limit. We use astrology to enhance. And last but not least, Ceres is very active on the 8th when she aspects the nodes of destiny in a creative function. Like I said, the 8th and 9th, really big this week for creative functions. So consider signing up for a Solimars OPA conference by December 15th. Early bird closes. It's out in beautiful near Monterey, California. 4 days, 12-hour intensive with me, and then 10 other brilliant astrologers teaching their tracks too. And then, of course, we do gift certificates here. Great present. You get your shopping done, 1, 2, 3. Rose mails you a beautiful PDF with your name and whoever the gift recipient is. You can also just ask for it blank, and we'll just give you the gift certificates. You can hand them out the way you want. So that's it. Take care, and I wish you a wonderful, wonderful week of December 7th. Bye-bye.